Welcome to the Av Podcast with Kelsey
on South Shore Ave Radio.
Welcome to the Av Podcast, the NBA Finals post-game or post-post-game version of the Av Podcast, where I'm joined by two esteemed gentlemen here. How you want to start this? Let me start with the normal, the regular guests here, the semi-regular guests. Two-time Hall of Famer at Rye High, aka Ryerson University, aka TMU. I'm telling you, sounds like a university from Gotham now with that name.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. Former teammate, guest of the pod, friend of the podcast, and be trying to become a preeminent yoga instructor. So please welcome Jan Michael Nation, aka Namaste Nation. How you doing today, brother?
You know, you didn't let me down. I knew you were gonna say something. I know you had something in the tank for me. I'm good. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be back and to talk about the game I love.
Yeah, no doubt. And we got to talk after the show too. But I'll lead you that in a moment. I told you I didn't have anything planned, man. That's right off the dome. I felt like
off the dome, mate. Yeah. That pisses me off even more. You know what I'm saying? So, but it's all good, man. I'll give you that one.
It's all good, man. And next up, I have another friend of the podcast. The first time he was on was when we did the live stream of the NBA draft last year, actually. Yeah, that was with Cooper Flagg and everybody else and VJ and all that. So that was a good one with that. He's assistant coach of Belmont Abbey College, former D1 basketball player at Citadel and D2 at Anderson College. And because he's a Kobe and Laker fan, he's a direct antagonist of Namaste Nation. Please welcome Terrell McDowell. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm great. I love that. I love that intro.
Oh, wow.
No problem. So before we start with the finals, do you want to go a little Kobe LeBron debate, or do you just want to just leave it alone and we just get started?
No, don't do it, guy. Just remember, hey, you forgot I went golfing before coming here. That's why I got this nice little tinge on me right now. So I'm ready just to talk about the NBA playoffs. Okay.
Well, with that said, I mean, Game Four is we're still feeling the after effects of that game, because I mean it was historic. You know, as far as we can see, the largest comeback in NBA Finals history. The Knicks right now are up 3-1. They're at the brink of winning their first title in 53 years. This is not a Knicks hat, but it's the Knicks colors. I'm representing a little bit here. I'm trying to represent my bet more than anything else. Not my bet, but my prediction more than anything else, because I said Knicks in six. Nice. I just didn't feel like I don't really have too much Knick hat, so this is as close as we're going to get. But with that said, what were your thoughts on last night's game? Was it the greatest comeback in NBA history, as you know, all praise due to the Knicks? Or did the Spurs completely collapse like a house of cards sitting in water? So I'll start with you, Terrell.
Man, I think it was more of a collapse. I mean, the Knicks have been playing at an elite level the last month and a half, but I really think the Spurs kind of threw that game away, especially in the closing moments in the fourth quarter. I thought they played a little timid, and they weren't as confident as they were in the series before. I mean, the series before, when they had OKC, there was a little animosity between the two teams. Like, I just felt like they were really, really confident going into, you know, close positions like that. And last night, I mean, they just, I mean, turnovers, the bad shot selections, I just feel like they just threw that game away.
What about you, Jan?
I agree. I think it's a combination of both. I think, once again, it's a tale of two halves, you know. I thought San Antonio went off, especially they had their mojo flowing. They had everything dropping for them, especially with the three-pointers. I believe it was 14 three-pointers in the first half. But I got to give a lot of respect to the Knicks, because, you know, sometimes you could just mail it in and just say, you know, we'll just prepare for game five. But the fact that they chipped away, it was like a 28, 20-point lead, I believe. at some point. 29, yeah, 29. So, I mean, like, the chip away to be consistent with it. Got to give a lot of credit to the Knicks. Just sticking with it. This game, you got to love this game. It's a butter runs, but in how you just have to. I think San Antonio showed their youth, and they, Wemby played for too long. I think they have to do a better job of resting him throughout instead of running, because I believe he played the whole second half or the whole fourth quarter, I believe. So, yeah. Like, you know when he's gassed, okay, you know when someone's gassed, or he, for him in particular, he flails and flops all the time. He's fatigued. And he wasn't getting a call. You could tell. He was just trying to get stop the clock. You could tell the coach. This is a combination. Once again, the Knicks and the Spurs. The coaching staff has to take this. De'Aaron Fox has to eat this, because I believe you're basically as a point guard, you're the coach on the floor. He's the veteran guy in the team. They showed.
And we're going to get to him in a moment, by the way. Yeah. But keep going.
I think they showed their youth. And at this stage of the game, with what's at stake, you can't have these epic collapses of this nature. So once again, to go back on my point, I believe it's a combination of both. I think San Antonio, obviously the pressure bust pipe, pressure hit them. They're almost were able to hang on. But I think you had great offensive and big time performances. I think OJ Anunoby has been amazing. This consistent, you know. So yeah, I think it's both teams had a hand in the collapse of the greatest comeback in finals history.
I congratulate the Knicks for what they did, but I blame the Spurs more than I congratulate the Knicks, if that makes sense. Because, like, I mean, look, the Knicks have been consistent. Like Terrell said, the Knicks have been consistent all playoffs in terms of how they play all season, really, because they don't really give up, especially when they're down. They're always fighting right to the end. Like, they played a full 48. That's like a belief with them. You know what I mean? So, and I mean, and they did this, I mean, earlier, not even in the playoffs, just like a few weeks ago with Cleveland, right? When they were down 22 when they came back and won. So this is not, when they went on this run, it wasn't really that surprising. It's kind of like, what's San Antonio going to do about it? But you're thinking, okay, these guys are so poised. Because, I mean, look, I've been praising the Spurs for being so poised, especially as a young team. And they've been carrying themselves with, like, veterans the whole playoffs, even though pretty much all of these guys have not been on a playoff run like this or even close to this, not even Fox himself. So I'm thinking, okay, like, these guys are going to end up, you know, carrying the bucket, carry the weight, and just, you know, just get to the finish line and win. And I was honestly, man, I was kind of disgusted with the Spurs, man. And it kind of starts with Mitchell, Mitch Johnson, because, I mean, to your point, how do you play Wemby the whole second half when you're up 30? You know what I mean? At a certain point, like, even because, I mean, it wasn't like the Knicks are making this run from the beginning of the half. Like, that started maybe like halfway towards the end of the third quarter. You got to find like a few minutes to rest him. You know what I mean? Like, that would have made a huge difference just in his energy. Because you're right. Once he gets tired, he starts to flail. It's like he's not as coordinated as he. It's almost like he becomes a little bit like Bambi, like a little bit when he gets tired.
If you look at his numbers, he goes off in the first half. And because, like, once again, when you're playing both ends of the floor and you got someone on the offensive end that's attacking you, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the first thing that's going to go is your legs. Right. So, you know, it's going to be harder to hit jump shots, you know. So he's just trying to get to he was just trying to stop the clock and just get some free throws up. But he missed free throws because he was exhausted emotionally and physically. And it was the moment. Right. So it's like, it's interesting because you got to give all, like, you know, these championship teams the credit, or the teams with veterans that could live in the moment. Like, once again, the Knicks, you got to give them the credit, man. This is at home, big lights on. This is the finals. You're getting blown out, and they kept chipping, you know? Not going for the home run, but they hit some big shots, man, down the stretch.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, and the Spurs went cold too, right, like from three. But also, like, a couple things too. It's like, why didn't, like, Johnson call timeouts at certain points, just to, at least at the very least, just to kill the momentum, just to give guys a little bit of a breather? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, even all the threes, because there was a point where they shot, I think, like 9 straight threes in a row.
Right.
They're like, shooting threes. So that's where they showed their youth. You know what I'm saying? And so that's where I thought, as a point guard, to settle things down, you should go like maybe 3 to 4 possessions where you're going with the flow. And then if it's a numbers game, let's get back to a reset, rebalance ourselves out, you know? Mm-hmm. So I held the coaching staff and the players have to hold this. Like, that's like, it's such an emotional blow. So, like, it's a good thing that they get the chance to go back home for game 5. But, like, it's just for a young team to take such of a hit. It's going to be interesting to see what they have left in the tank.
Yeah. Like, say what you want about Barkley, but listen, I know some people have complaints about him inside the NBA. Like, I'm still a fan of Barkley, but, like, he was absolutely dead on. Like, it was some of the dumbest basketball that I've seen. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, even for a young team, and I get it, they're young, but now you've been in the playoffs for a couple of months. You've been playing at a certain level now, like Terrell's mm-hmm. pointing out. Like, at a certain point now, okay, like you're here now, you know what I mean? So it's like, even though you don't have the experience, but really and truly, neither do the Knicks. The Knicks have never been in the finals either, right? None of these guys either, right? But they have vets, and they've been through stuff before. So I get that.
Yeah, agreed. It's just crazy that it's such an epic collapse on the biggest stage. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, now you got to think about it. Everyone's talking about the TV shows, like, well, hopefully they're not watching that, not paying attention to that. But, like, just emotionally, as a team, we're going to find out what they have left. We're going to see what they have left. Because that fourth quarter, if they blow them out or the game's close, they're always going to be wondering if these could come back, if the Knicks have a comeback in them. You know what I'm saying? So, and if they win game 5, it just resets the stage again and for game 6 in New York. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, so it's just interesting.
And they've also played well enough to win every game this series.
Yeah, I mean, that's the disappointing thing about it. That's a good point.
So I feel like they still have some confidence that they can pull this off. But again, like the shot selection, they have to find ways to get Wemby some easier looks. Like, I just feel like he has to work for every shot, you know, he makes. Whereas, you know, the Knicks, when they're playing through Cat, and the ball's moving, like they're flowing and they're scoring at a pretty high rate. So, I'm interested to see what adjustments they make offensively to kind of save Wemby's legs. And then, you know, on the other side of the ball, like, you know, I don't know what kind of defensive adjustments they're trying to make, because it seems as though Wemby is trying to block every shot or make every play at the rim. So
I like the rotations defensively that they have to keep him the low rotation man, so that to be at the basket.
Yeah.
Yeah. My question to you, Terrell, and you, Cal, is they've played 4 games now, and they know each other. Now, do you think both teams know who the better team is at this stage?
Yes and no. I think both teams should still feel confident, if that makes sense.
By the way, that was the best question of the day, and I want credit for that. Continue, guys. Go ahead.
Yeah, not a chance in hell. What I will say though is to your point, like, the Spurs have been in every. They've been leading in the first quarter of every game in this series. They've had the lead with 3 minutes to go in every game of this series. The point differential, I was looking at heard a stat today. The point differential in this whole series is 7 points. Yet they're down 3-1.
3-1.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's
game of inches. Yeah.
But it's those little, that's the thing, right? When you're young, it's those little, because it's not even just the players, it's the coaching staff too. That's young, right?
Yeah.
And they don't have like a veteran head coach on the bench sitting beside Johnson. Like, Popovich is there, but Popovich isn't there. You know what I mean?
So there's only so much he could do. Listen, I just think this will be such of a, not to say a wasted run, but like, they beat OKC in game 7 on OK's floor. and not to follow through and win the championship would be such a hard, tough pill to swallow, a valuable experience. But like, you know what I'm saying? But not getting the job done. Like, you know what I'm saying? You beat OKC because, you know, next year it's not going to be a given. You know what I'm saying? So it's just interesting to see that, like, game of inches is 3-1 going back to San Antonio. So I think this kid's a once-in-a-generational type of player that can impact a series. But I just think it's just too much for him at this stage of the game because he's so his game offensively is still raw. It's still incomplete. You know what I'm saying? There's still so much. This is like level 5 in his game of basketball career. And there's so many more levels and stages of experience that he's going to go through. But it's just like, I think they're not to say they're ahead of their schedule by far. But now they're here. You have to take advantage of it. And it's just unfortunate that they're having these moments at this stage.
What do you think, Terrell?
Yeah, I mean, I think every championship team, every dynasty kind of has to go through some pain like this. So I think moving forward, this will only push them in that direction because once Wemby figures it out on the offensive side of the ball, like I just don't see anyone being able to do anything with him. So, this could only push them in that direction as a dynasty. And, you know, I still think they have a chance. You know, they win this next game. Like, I think they'll have all the confidence in the world to go in MSG and win there again.
Redeem themselves?
I think they think they can do it, especially with Wemby on their side.
When it was 2-0, Terrell, when it was 2-0, I still believed that they could come back and win both games in New York because of Wemby's impact on both ends of the floor. I thought Castle, it was coming into his own. Vassell's been hitting some big shots. Champagne's been hitting some good shots during I still thought they had a good chance, you know. Mm-hmm. Now I just think that emotional loss, like you got to get game 5. That's you can't skip steps, obviously. Right. Game 5 is going to say a lot because it's 4 quarters, as you know. You know what I'm saying? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And they, once again, Cal brought it up with this, the 3 minutes. It's been, the New York Knicks have found easier and better ways of executing than they have. For them, it's such a struggle.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, before we move on to the next part, though, I'll say this too. That adjustment that Mike Brown made, and having Alvarado and Brunson play together in the fourth, that's probably going to be one of the great adjustments, in-game adjustments that we'll see in a long time. I don't want to say in history. I'm not going down a mental roller next to that. But but really and truly, that's one of the great moves that I've seen because you gave Brunson, because Brunson was being picked up 94 feet the entire series, basically. And you can see it's kind of wearing on him, especially those first 3 games. But in this, especially in that second half, with Alvarado being on the court, you gave him a valve. You give him a release valve. You know what I mean? And somebody else to bring the ball up the floor too. Right. Just to get that pressure off. And then, anytime you got double team, here's Alvarado, another point guard being able to make plays. And because of his speed, because of his tenacity, his fearlessness, you know what I mean?
This is energy. It's energy, man.
You know? Everything. So it brought a new level to the game that like they just weren't expecting. Plus he hit big shots too. He's been playing well when he's on the floor. It's so serious, you know, but that was, I think that move was like, it was an amazing move that like it really worked out at the end because he was the 3 of them, Brunson, him and Anunoby were the biggest factors of that run.
Yeah.
But he was very young. It was honestly, that was one of the great like in-game adjustments. And it was out of desperation. Cause I think Brown said in the presser, he's like, they wanted to speed up the game so they can get more possessions at the end. So it made sense, but the funny thing is they've never played together on the floor all season. Yeah. That was the first time they ever played together on the floor.
See, now he has that weapon in his back pocket that to use at different times to change the tempo of the game if things are not going right, or if they want to, you know, kind of push the lead if they have it, you know. Game five is going to be interesting because game four had had Cat in foul trouble. Up until this point, Cat has didn't have too much crazy foul trouble in the first half. He got his ticky-tack fouls from time to time, but he's been pretty good compared to previous years. You know, so he got the two quick fouls, and then the run started to happen. So you're like, okay, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the game goes on game five. A lot will be told from, you know, again, adjustments, substitution patterns. How can they, does they mean, like, I don't know, like for someone so big, it can't do a body well to be playing all those minutes, especially those ankles and the lower extremities from his waist down. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? To be like, and he's very agile. So give it to him that his body's holding up until the stage, because he didn't play like this all season. I don't think he's played like this all his life, this much ball consecutively, you know? So it'll be interesting to see down the road how impactful this the minutes he's been playing.
Well, maybe they have to limit the possessions to kind of save his legs. You know, play a little slower, almost compared to like a football game where you're running the ball to give you.
I agree.
You know,
he can't expect. It's just too hard for him. Right. You know.
Yeah.
No, it makes sense. I thought you were going to throw a Rams reference in there. Thank God he didn't do that.
We'll leave that alone.
All right. Thank you. Because I mean, my Niners heart, I don't think can really take Garrett and Donald coming back together. I don't want to hear nothing about positive about the Rams right now.
Is Donald coming back?
He might. It's Schefter saying he's more likely than not right now. So he might.
But I saw a post of him in the gym doing some serious. But he's always doing that, right?
So yeah, he's always going to work out.
He's always working out.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because when you saw when he put I don't know if you guys saw that when he put Verse through his workout, and Verse was basically like, "Yo, you got to call the police on this guy. Like, yo, this guy's he's too much for me. You know what I mean?" And he's retired. Yeah. And he's just like, "No, he's too insane. Yeah. He's too insane." Yeah, that trade is wow. I'm still freaking out over that. It'd be bigger news if it wasn't for this final still, but it's crazy. Can we talk about Fox? Can we talk about De'Aaron Fox for a moment? Because what the hell? That's my question.
Can I say this? Listen, man. One thing we know about the playoffs is that we find out who's real, who's not. Players get exposed, coaches get exposed, and sometimes when you're coming back from an injury, you don't get to expose. You don't get to show your true self, you know. Ankle, I'm not giving him an out or excuses. He's not playing well. He's been known to hit some big baskets up until this point. He's hit some big baskets when they needed it from time to time. But the level that we know him for, he has not been anywhere near it consistently. And I don't know if it's because he's deferring to let the other guys get their game off or try to fit in, or they're just trying to establish roles within the team because they got this far doing it the way they have. So I can't understand what's going on from him, especially offensively.
Right. I don't know if he knows when to pick his spots with this team, because they don't really have a closer, and he should be that guy. Yes. So they've been in so many situations to where they put the ball in his hands at the end of games.
But it's to playmake more, right?
But yeah, right. And he's trying to playmake instead of attacking like he would have when he was in Sacramento, right? So I know you guys talked about on the last pod about him kind of taking a back seat, but I'm interested to see like how they use him, if they use him more at all at the end of games.
Yeah, he's been, because I was mentioning on the last pod that you got to be careful how much you sacrifice when you're a star player, because sometimes it's like you realize you can't get it out of gear afterwards, right? When you start doing it long enough. And he's got to be careful with that, because they've been, you're right. I mean, last year he was a clutch player of the year, that the award that the NBA made up, that he was a clutch player of the year last year. And, Yeah, you would not think that he even possessed like that ability at this point, because Castle's basically like their closer, like especially yeah. the last couple of rounds. You know what I mean?
He has the ball in his hands a lot more, and he's like you can tell he's learning on the go in a sense of playmaking. When like he tends to dribble into traffic a lot and get picked off from the help side defense or trying to pass out of the. He gets too deep sometimes, but you can tell he's learning. He's trying to do a better adjustment, but I still think they still need De'Aaron Fox because the way he can attack the basket, but I don't think he has that explosion. And that's where I think the injury is affecting him, because normally, like, you know, that was a great defensive play by OG and Anobi in the sense of the block, because they're going full speed from this one end to the next, and OG caught him clean. And so I don't think he had full explosion on that layup. I just think he was just trying to get there quickly and fastly. See if you get a 3-point lead at that point.
Well, Fox actually slowed down to try to bump him to go up for the layup.
Yeah, but I mean, initially the takeoff was there.
Gotcha.
I meant initially, yeah. But yeah, because like Anunoby coming from behind, that's a big body, and he's got good timing.
Right.
Yeah. When you've been hearing it a lot today, at least with some people, especially on like social media. when you hear like, you know, conspiracy theorists and stuff come out and, you know, talk about point shaving, and then, you know, you hear people saying that that him and Rozier are cousins now, you know, when he starts seeing things like that, it's like, you know, I'm kind of like, you know what? I can't even blame y'all for saying that, because it, like, there's some points that look like he was point shaving, because it was like, it was so uncharacteristic. And don't get me wrong. I know he's still dealing, like even Coach Cal said it. I don't know if he was saying it because it's true or if he was trying to protect him, but he was saying that, you know, he's still dealing with his high ankle sprain and stuff. And I'm like, maybe that's the case, because you have been seeing he's not as explosive. I'll give him that. But the decision-making that he's making, like that, the second half, outside of the three, I think he had a three in the fourth quarter with like 4 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. Other than that, honestly, like he made so many mistakes in the second half. Like you can't even count them all. Like just from the turnovers, dribbling off his foot, throwing it out of bounds, defensive lapses on both ends of the floor. It's not even like it was one end. It was both ends of the floor. Like it was after a while, you're like, yo, what is going on here? Like, is this guy okay? Like it's almost like a part of his brain is like, okay, I got to fit in. A part of his brain's like, it's the NBA finals. Is he succumbing to the murmurs of like, Harper, you know, maybe stealing his job in a couple of years or that type of thing. And, you know, it's like, it felt like all of it just like came to pass, you know, but it was like, it was weird to watch. Cause I'm like, okay, like he's not a guy that's been far on a playoff run either. Like this is really his first real playoff run. So it's like, even though he's a veteran, he's never really been in the playoffs before other than a couple of years ago in the first round against Golden State. But with that said, I'm like, you're still the point guard. Like the decision making is on you. Like out of all the young guys, you have to be the coach on the floor. Like that's the steal that he got against OG. I was like, I mean, many people ripped it, but rightfully so, because I mean, you're up one. This team has won on a monumental run. Here's a chance now to break momentum. Like, yeah, even if you go for the layup and get it, if you go for the layup and make it, you're still giving him 13 seconds left. To come up with a play, but if he faked it and dribbled to the corner, you know, took some time off the clock, you know what I mean? Like now you're putting more pressure on the Knicks. Like that's like elementary stuff. So it's like he got caught in the moment. But I'm like you shouldn't be at this point. You got to have your wherewithal about you. You know what I mean? As a point guard. You know what I mean? Like it's above all else. Like you're the coach on the floor, especially for the amount of young guys that's on the floor at the same time. Like you can't be riding that wave with the young guys. Like you got to be above it.
Now I pose another question to you guys. Now what if OG didn't get that tap in, and the Spurs were able to hold on, and we're going back to San Antonio 2-2 tied? Are we still having this conversation about De'Aaron Fox not living up to expectations at this stage?
Yes.
Okay. Or right. Like you saying, okay, they just did enough to get by, you take the win and move on, and hopefully you get the reset for game five. You know what I'm saying? But like, I guess their backs to the wall now. Like, if like he has to put up, he's gonna have to put up some good numbers. I think to, and they have to win. They have to win. First and foremost, yeah. Tyrell, for your infamous comeback that I only think one man, and I was going to try to wear that jersey today, but I'll keep myself quiet. But only one man has done. I think Wemby is that once again, he has the capabilities of pulling it off, but it's a huge uphill to climb. And I think New York has stolen back the momentum in this series heading back into San Antonio. And I don't know how much emotional fight these guys, these young guys got in the reserve to withstand what happened in game four and to move forward, like to push it to another, to basically they have to get it to another game seven. Right. And then what did they have in the tank for your game seven? It's going to be at their place. So they're going to have that crowd behind them, obviously, but like, it's just a lot right now. A lot has to go right for them. They could do it. It's not saying they can't. It's capable. That's what sports is all about. But mm-hmm. this stage, I think that game four loss was epic, man. And, you know, Terrell, we all play ball, and sometimes you come across a team that you know is better than you after a stage because you're like, you can see it. When New York is flowing, it's just no stopping them. And I just find that the Spurs, like, they're shooting. They had their best shooting half. It was like the first, what was it, the best shooting half in finals history? Because they had 14 threes, right?
14.
Yeah. And look what happened. Like, when I saw the 20-point lead, I was like, wow. And I just see it come. I just see it, the lead slowly disintegrating. I was like, really, guys? Really? We're going to do this? And then, yeah. Gotta give respect to OG and Obi and Jalen and the Knicks as a whole and the coaching staff of the Knicks. To keep the grit going at home. Because can you imagine if they would have lost or they would have got blown out by 30, 40? Mm-hmm. Like, we're having a completely different conversation heading into game five, mm-hmm. right? You know, so gotta give it to the Knicks, man. Gotta give it to them. They didn't take care of the job of, they kind of lost away in game three. They reestablished themselves. They got blown out in the first half and then chipped away and stole game four. Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an all-time performance, especially by the coaching staff to like you mentioned earlier, Cal, like them speeding the game up and forcing the Spurs to play at a pace that they knew they probably couldn't keep up. And you know, they just have to do a better job at finding ways to get their guys easy shots, because Jan, like you said earlier, like they're just, it seems like it's a struggle offensively for the Spurs.
Oh man, it's such a, they're relying so much on their talent to score rather than the play itself, you know what I'm saying? And so when you're playing against a system and these guys know their spots, they know their roles, everything's defined. Well, when you're playing against a team that's still figuring out what that is,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So it's just interesting. It's just, I love this game, but it's just like, you can't skip steps in the process.
I got to go back to Fox for a second. I'm sorry. Cause double teaming Brunson on that shot too. I mean, I'm putting all the blame on him. I'm not saying he's the reason why they lost. It came from 29 down. It's a whole team effort on both sides. But even leaving Ananobi to go double team Brunson, like you left that guy wide open. Like he literally had a clear lane to get that tip in. What's crazy?
Who was the other guy doubling? Who was the other guy with him?
Yeah, Wemby. I know.
And you're doubling.
But it's like, yeah, why? It's 5 seconds. Let him go 1-on-1.
Let's think about that. That's the question of the day. You have Wemby. How tall is Wemby?
7'4". Right. Defensive 7'5", player of the year.
Yeah. Okay. And you're leaving. Yeah. Open you're leaving lane. The open guy, run.
Yeah.
Open lane. Because you can see the Spurs when the tip-in went in, they're like, what? How? Everyone's looking around, how? You know? That's such a tough way. It's like that, you can hear the air out of their that play killed them.
And what's crazy is it was to me it was actually smart of Brunson to do that. Cause I think once he saw him, once he had their space between him and Wemby, and he saw Brunson coming, he took the three, because it was like, now you have an advantage on the boards. You're way bigger. There's more chances for a tip-in. And on top of that, if you realize, had OG missed that tip-in, Karl Anthony Towns would have had a shot to tip it in too before the game was over. Look at the replay. He jumped to tap that in too. So if he missed, he was like something tapping up.
OG had the momentum because he was running from the top of the key.
No, 100%. 100%. But I'm saying that, like, if he missed, there Cat was right the next one to tap the ball before the game was over.
We'll never know.
I don't know if I want to give Brunson that much credit, though. I just feel like he was, in that moment, he wanted to be the man.
Yes, I agree.
I think he wanted the glory. Making the last shot.
Yeah.
Because he was balling up until that point. He was pretty much flowing. He was in the flow state, right? So why not? And it was in the garden. The stage was set.
And you got to give it to him too, because I mean, earlier, just a few minutes before, he did hit a three in Wemby's face too, right? Yeah. So why not believe that you can shoot it again? Yeah, you could feel like he had Batman's cape on in that moment. You could definitely feel that, definitely. What's your respect level for OG now?
I mean, he was a pretty big contributor on the. Was he not on the Raptors when they won?
Injured?
No, he was injured.
He was injured.
In the finals, he was injured. Yeah, he had the surgery.
I'm thinking of.
Go ahead. My bad. Sorry.
No, you're good. No, he's been pretty consistent over the last couple of months for them, especially when, like I said earlier, like Cat's been the guy that they're running the offense through, and Brunson isn't dribbling there out of the ball and jacking up shots. But I think when they get him and Bridges involved, and Bridges has been pretty non-existent the last couple games, like I think they have to get him more looks now that Wemby has switched off Cat, and bring him out of the paint a little more to you know, get some better looks at the rim.
Yeah. No, go ahead, Jen.
Looking back, watching the game, I watched the highlights again, because I just like,
where was this when he was on the Raptors?
Yeah, I know, not to say that, but like, you could tell, like, even with the experience that he had with the Raptors, he was building up. He's always been efficient. He's always been a good big game riser or performer. He's always hit big baskets, and he's always been consistent. What you saw today was a buildup throughout the playoffs, because he was injured. Remember last year he was injured, he came back, and even on half a leg, this guy's hitting and one threes and falling out of bounds. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could tell, like, the level of focus for these moments has always been there. That's why it reminds me of Kawhi, because he's not really a high dribbler. So that's really efficient. And he uses his body well. He's smarter than what he looks out there. And he's really efficient. Like, the 3-point shot, my goodness. And then the little mid-range stuff, the fadeaways, the counters. He's a complete basketball player, and I think you're just seeing a guy that was ready to seize the moment. And it's going to be interesting to see if the Knicks win, who would be – I think he'll be the leader for MVP.
Right now.
Because he's been the most consistent of all the games, because, like, he's had some good games and he lost. Numbers-wise?
Yeah, Cal, she says Brunson. Polly Market says Brunson right now.
Yeah.
But I hear you though. I would say it's him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. You know, it's. I'm kind of like, wow. Where was this when he was with the Raptors? But honestly, I think New York has brought the best out of him. Period. Like, just the city, the atmosphere. You know, some people can just play, like, when you're in front of a big crowd, it's like you just play better. When it's more of like a raucous crowd, and you just there's something that it just takes something in you, and it just brings out the best in you, I should say. And I feel like that's what's happened with him right now, because there's things in this game that he's doing where I'm like, wow. Yeah, man, like you can see he definitely went to work. The threes is one thing, but like, yeah, even the dribble drives, the step backs, I'm like, you didn't have this in his game. The way he attacks Wemby, he's the only one that attacks Wemby. Right. He tries to dunk on Wemby almost any chance he gets.
And he doesn't. People are not talking about that enough. I know that. Like, I saw him body him. Ooh, I was like, okay. And you got guys like Chet still running. Wow, that guy. Anyway, moving along. Don't want to talk about that guy right now, because that's going to give me anxiety. Moving along. Yeah, more power to him, man. Because there's a couple times, like, when you think about it as a player, it only takes one dunk down the lane to make people question jumping or even attempting, right? And so he dunked on Wemby a few times, if you notice it in the series. Now Wemby's like, I don't want none of that. He just lets him go sometimes. If he doesn't have a chance to catch up to him, he won't let him, because he knows he's going to catch one on his head, right?
Yeah.
So he's dunked on him a good, what, two or three times?
Yeah, twice.
But that one, that two hand where he bodied him, that was beautiful. I stood up and clapped at the TV. I was like, that's impressive. For real ballers, know what that means. Between the two of them, yeah, there was a lot said in that play. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So kudos to him. But yeah, he's been balling though. I think he's my MVP, man, because of just the consistency from top to bottom, playing both ends of the floor. Yeah.
And he's a huge star in New York now. Like, when you're watching, like, actresses and just people running up on him and they stuff now, him, and I'm like, look at OG, man. It's like, damn, like, wow.
He made the right decision.
He did. He sure did. I'm happy for it, man. Like, I feel like a proud family member watching this. Like, I don't watch Law and Order, but the woman from Law and Order that came up running up to him, like, I love you, OG. You've been so amazing. I'm like, look at this guy.
I wonder how the after parties were that night. Interesting.
Oh man.
Well, I was saying, if they win, can you imagine the after party when they win?
Yeah, I got friends saying that they want to drive down there. I'm like, do you want to be in that madness? Nah, man. You got to park in Connecticut and walk in. You're like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
I know. That's true.
You know?
That's true. Take an Uber. Don't take your car. Take an Uber.
Yeah.
Do you think it'd be worse if they lose 3-1 on the streets or if they win the championship next game?
That's a good question. I think if they win, it's going to be chaos personified. It
might be the purge. It might be the purge.
Yeah. If they're doing what they're doing now, if they win, both ways, I think it'll give people an excuse to be even stupider if they lose.
Yeah.
You know, especially in this day, the climate, the world that we're in this day in society. I'm happy where. So, hey, sorry, Terrell. I'm happy where I am.
Hey, I'm in Charlotte. I'm good.
Okay, you know what you want.
We're not winning on this side.
Yeah.
Nothing going down in Charlotte.
You chose very wisely, my friend.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny though, because I always say the Canadians, like Montreal, when the Canadians win. There's very few fan bases that are on our level or worse. And I'm remembering now. Yeah, the Knicks are above us when it comes to the craziness. Because, I mean, we wait till we win this series before we tear apart our city. You know what I mean? But these guys, I mean, like I said, the last pod, game three, when they're beating up that Spurs fan, I'm like, yo, it's game three. Yeah. Like, Jesus, it's three games in. Like,
you can see there was a buildup to this before. When they won the final, or when they got to the finals, you could see the craziness happening in the streets and the stuff like that. I remember, they're like, didn't they jump J.R. Smith earlier in the Atlanta series?
Oh, yeah. They were just, right? They're like, I think it was just, that was more joy, but it was just crazy, yeah.
Yeah, but it just, once again, it's an excuse to do more stuff. Like, I saw they threw an egg at Wemby when he was trying to get out of here. Get out of there, sorry, right? So, like, So what happens now, guys? I pose this question to you. Another one. Another great question. What happens now if Spurs win game five and they go back to New York? How crazy that place is going to be.
Listen, you know what, Terrell, you take this first. I want to hear your point first, because let me say my point.
I mean, it comes down to them finishing games, because every game they've had the lead going into the fourth, closing minutes of the fourth, and they can't find a way outside of game three in finishing it. So I want to see what their, you know, what their adjustments, what their identity moving forward is in those closing moments. Like, who's going to be the guy that's going to take us home and hit that shot or gets the free throw line and make his free throws? Like, Wemby, people will forget, like, Wemby had a chance to put them up one.
He missed the free throws,
and he missed both free throws. Yeah. So, like, can you trust him in the closing moments? Is he going to miss free throws at the end of the game? Like, I think they need to figure out a way to get whoever going, whether it's Castle,
I think it has to be Castle, because Castle has proven.
Or Harper. Like, Harper's been balling the last couple of games.
He wasn't shooting. He didn't shoot much in the final 5 or 8 minutes or something of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That's why he used the fern, everybody. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, once again, what I was saying earlier, the Knicks know their roles are defined, I guess, in a sense of when to take shots and whatnot. It's more fluent, even with the ball movement. It's just a better flow, consistently, I'll say.
Yeah.
I think the Spurs are still, once again, your turn, my turn, still a flow a little bit, but it's not, they're still building on it. There's still more to it. That has to be, once again, I wonder what the coaching staff, what changes they're going to make offensively. Are they going to slow the game down? Or are they going to try to keep up with them? Basically, they're afraid to play Cornette because his minutes have been, they've abused him. So do they go small ball and take a chance and put Cam Johnson on Cat? So it's just interesting to see what adjustments they do consistently. Does it change? Did it mix a little zone in here, in there? It's interesting, because it's all or nothing now. Your back is to the wall now, because you played around a little too much. That's it. No more chances, right?
Listen, like, from what we saw from game four, right? That crowd, I mean, we know how crazy that crowd is after game three. But if you saw after yesterday's game, they didn't leave the floor for like an hour. Like, usually, like, after the game, the security is going to just, make sure the people don't get on the court, the celebs, the crowd, even the celebs, they won't let them get on the court too much, give or take a few of them, and then everybody kind of clears out. It was a party on the floor. Like, it was like a pre-party on the floor. Nobody left for an hour. Mm-hmm. Like, people were just talking, hanging, just everybody just, like, the A-listers and the former ball players were just all intermingling, the celebrities, the multi-billionaires. Everybody was just, it was like a party on Madison Square Garden. Nobody left. And then I saw this thing today with Method Man where he's talking about, like, they performed the halftime show yesterday. And he was like, he said he didn't even stay to the end of the game, because he said he was trying to get out before the traffic hit. So he's like, he ended up just catching the highlights, because he was like, he wanted no parts of that. Because he's like, because where Madison Square Garden is, it's like literally in the heart of the city. He's like, even for the section for celebs and stuff to get out, he's like, it's kind of tricky. He's like, you're basically engulfed by fans when you're coming out. You know what I mean? So he's like, man, he wanted no parts of that. So I think, man, I honestly think you might have to set up an encampment. Like, if it goes back to game six, it's, that's going to be it might be as crazy as game three. I think the only difference is I think the Knicks themselves will be able to handle it a little better than they did in game three. Cause I thought the hype actually broke them in game three.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, they play out of character.
So I think game six, if it happens now, it's like, no, we're gonna like we'll be with it. You know what I mean? We're gonna like basically feed off that energy. But I think like it's for if game four was any indication, after the game, like it was any indication of what the future is gonna be. Like, I actually hope the Spurs win so that I can kind of see it. I actually want to see this. That was crazy. Like, just watching that yesterday was just, man, I'm like, nobody left. It was like, but it's funny because I can't even say the celebs. Honestly, nobody, I don't think anybody left right away. Like long after, the crowd was still packed. They were singing all the New York songs. Frank Sinatra, Bon Jovi, Billy Joel, Ja Rule. They were singing everything. Alicia Keys, they were like, nobody left. So that's why I was like, yo, it's a big party. I'm like, can you imagine they come back and they win? So I'm like, even if they lose, I just think for entertainment purposes, I kind of want to see how this goes down.
Well, a certain someone's got to stay away from the arena for that to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
As long as certain people don't go to the game, I think that
you know he'll take it as an opportunity to make it about himself. That game six, if it happens, right?
Yeah,
yeah, he probably
Don't do it, Dolan. Don't do it. Just keep it about the players. Don't do it. Don't do it. And honestly, it would be foolish to do it because I think you kind of want that hysteria around the garden, like the way they've had it, like kind of like Jurassic Park. They couldn't do that for for that first finals game, right? So you want that environment. So I don't think he probably I don't think you make that happen. With that said, before we wrap, I just want to go a quick list and I'll get your predictions. Here's what's at stake if the Knicks win it all. I have a list here. Jalen Brunson solidifies himself on the Mount Rushmore of New York Knicks forever with him, Patrick Ewing, Willis Reed and Clyde Frazier. I think for those who are saying that he's already going to be the greatest Knick of all time, like, come on, guys, slow down. Pump the brakes a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, how could he be above even a guy like Clyde Frazier, who brought two chips to New York? They're only two chips. How does he leap above them? Like, come on, man. Like, just...
It's recency bias, right?
Yeah, so, calm down.
You know what I mean? So, but you got to remember, it's so long. And so it's been so many years. Like, I think, like, the New York Knicks, you got to think of, like, Boston before they won that... the Red Sox before they won that World Championship. Cleveland with LeBron, and then we'll see what the Toronto Maple Leafs. Right? Yeah, that's another big city, big market, hockey market with so much pressure. They haven't figured it out. Management, players, is just a big target on your back, and they still no one has been able to figure it out. Right?
Yeah. So it's too bad. It's too bad Wemby doesn't have Draymond Green to call the league on. I'll get back to the list. they'll be the most memorable New York Knicks team. The most memorable New York team to win a chip since probably, I want to say the 86 Mets and the 94 Rangers, because both those teams took like decades to win. I think the last time the Rangers won was like, I think it was also like a 50 plus year gap. And now it's like 30 plus. So, there's that. You will need a National Guard if they end up winning the finals, especially for the parade. You will need a National Guard.
I thought Toronto's championship was special, obviously, because like you had the country supporting
and
them.
It was,
and like that parade was interesting because even though they didn't know what they're doing, it was something special. I think if the Knicks complete the job, my goodness gracious. Yeah. Wow. It'll be a parade until the first NBA season. The first of the next season, of next year.
They're about to be the most obnoxious fan base.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yo.
Oh my goodness.
We'll officially never remember Josh Hart blowing his layup ever again.
I thought of Patrick Ewing when he did that.
The finger roll. He had no legs, though.
Ewing or Hart or both.
Yeah, both.
Both. That's a good one. I will say, but because Ewing was at the end of the very end. That was the play that cost him to go to the – was it the – yeah, the finals.
It's in the conference finals.
Against Indiana, right?
So like, the conference finals. It was to go to the conference finals. It wasn't the finals.
Sorry.
That was like the end of their run, basically, or his led run at that point, even though they went back a few years later. Yeah. John Starks going two for 18 in game 7. That gets forgotten forever, too.
Yeah, but that's OJ. OJ, come on now. The Broncos chase that, like, I was so pissed off, man. Yo, put it back on the game. But anyways, as a kid, you don't see the relevance at the time. But you're like, yo, put the game back on, man. I don't care about this guy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah,
I forget about that.
Yeah, you see, you know what I mean. So like, there's some moments that I remember watching baseball. Oakland A's. It was like earthquake or something like
that. Earthquake, yeah.
You remember? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's always interesting to see over the years. But once again, you got to love the game. That's why I love this game. Basketball is just interesting because you never know. Anything can happen. And it's been a good season. The finals has been good. It's been good basketball to watch. Yeah. Yesterday was hard to watch because it was like for one moment it looked like it's gonna be one way, and then you just see it slowly. It's just like, really, guys? Really? Wow. Game?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Can you imagine? Okay, just imagine the Spurs that night. You're not sleeping. I know myself. I'm not sleeping. I'm replaying everything in my mind.
Yeah.
What if? Why? I should have done this differently. I should have done that one. And then, what are they going to do as a cohesive unit for Game 5? Is the real question. Coaching staff, like it's like Popovich better meet them on the tarmac when they get back that night. Tell you that much.
He probably will.
Yeah.
If they haven't,
at this point, I don't even think a Popovich talking point can bring back. That was an epic loss, man. Just emotionally. I'm not even talking physically of the body for these guys. You know, you remember, they just came off of Game 7. And they had to reel it back in to get back into the series again in a different flow, a different tempo. Right?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, last but not least, Jose Alvarado. And I'm saying this because the Puerto Rican Day Parade is on Sunday. You think they want to delay it a week? In case just to make him the king of the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Oh my goodness!
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. They should think about delaying that at least another week. Put it for the 21st, and just let him and some of the Knicks be a part of that. Let Cat be the Puerto Rican for the day.
They gotta get there first. They gotta get there first. You gotta complete the job.
Yeah. No. 100%. 100%. And then lastly, as long as in losing, I think the benefit is what's at stake is that if they lose, I think the league is going to have to run from Wemby, Castle, and the rest of the Spurs next season, because I think they, as my brother put it, they may win 70 games next year just in anger and revenge.
The revenge tour, that this might be the ammo that they need to
yeah.
I don't know, but you know what? I say this. This is my thing. Remember I said earlier, it'll be unfortunate that they, you know, they beat OKC because it's not granted that they'll get back here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You just can't take that for granted. You have to go through a 82-game season. You got to be healthy enough to go through to win 16 games or 12 games to get to the
finals. Like you find out with OKC, right?
And like, look at like the last 8 years of 8 different champions.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that says a lot in itself, what to look forward to in the next year. We thought that OKC was going to do it. And for the most part, they almost did. And they had two guys, a few key components that out. So, you know, they're going to be rearing. Everyone's going to be retooling. You know what I'm saying? So that's why this moment is that much more pressure on this moment, because you got to, it's like you're trying to catch lightning in the bottle and hold on to it. In order to win a championship, you need some luck. You need good coaching. You need great play and determination. right? And we're definitely gonna we're seeing that at this high level. But my goodness gracious, you know, if they lose, it'll be like a wasted opportunity. The way they beat OKC, woof! It's like you think, oh, they got through they did it, and then they fall short. Oh, psychologically, oof! That offseason is gonna hurt. You know those losses that you don't forget about? Definitely going to be one of those.
Yeah. Now, to end off the pod, who y'all got for game five?
Terrell?
Man. I think the Spurs win. I think they get it back to Madison Square Garden. They might not win game six, but I think they'll – but at least get it back to New York, and we can kind of take it from there.
I want to see more basketball, because after this, my goodness, I'm not watching TV, man. I'm just going to be outside. secondly,
you're not watching the World Cup?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot. My bad. Yeah, I wasn't thinking about that. But I mean, yeah, definitely watching World Cup. I think because of the emotional letdown that happened and the confidence that the Knicks have, and they just think they're on top of the world right now. Like, I know they had their 14 game winning streak broken. They had a good momentum. I think this momentum is just as strong as that 14 game win streak going into game five. And they've won their two games there already. So that's like a home game already. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. In a sense. So I think they close it out. I want the Spurs to win, but I think I'm going to think with my mind and not my heart. And I think the Knicks are going to pull it out in game five.
I'm disappointed in the Spurs because, as an organization, how do you let New York Knicks fans buy the amount of tickets that they're buying? Because even already, again, they've bought 37% of the tickets. Like, how are you guys doing this again? You're supposed to block off that whole area code, the whole tri-state area. Anyone with that zip code, area code, is not supposed to be able to buy tickets.
In theory, yes. But like, when you have a passionate fan base, that ain't gonna happen, my brother. Yeah. Look at.
They come from
everywhere. We talk about FIFA. Look at England. Listen. I played ball there for 5 years, my brother. Their fans are. It's on another level. They go to other countries and party and fight with these other people in their own country. And dude, it's documented. So what the Knicks are doing is just it's not even surprising me. And they've been doing it all year.
I was going to say, I hate to bring it back to football, but your beloved 49ers seem to do this to my team every single season.
It's true.
They buy all the. I mean, it's basically a home game.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's New like a York kind of has that pull. Yeah, New York has that kind of pull.
Yeah, no, it's crazy to see, but I'm actually going with Terrell on this. I think Wemby's crazy enough and inspired enough that I don't think this totally breaks him in a way that it might break most people. And I think I can see them coming back to win Game Five, but I think the Knicks win it in six. Yeah, I'm kind of on both sides where it's like I want to see more basketball too. Even though the World Cup is here, I want to see more balls. So I think the series ends on Tuesday, not Saturday. That's my prediction. But I think the Spurs win Game Five. That'll be my prediction. But and it'll be another close game too. But I think the Spurs pull it out, and then we'll see what happens Game Six. Yeah, we'll see what happens, but. Guys, thank you for hopping on this podcast. I appreciate the two of you guys for doing this. Much love to the two of you. And Terrell, yeah, man, you got to come back for a few more, man. You got to come back for a couple more.
Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see. We'll see.
Nah, but I appreciate you guys for doing this, man. And Namaste Nation, like I said, we'll talk in a few minutes, man. We'll talk it. I mean that lovingly, man. I don't mean that in a bad, disrespectful way. I mean that with all positivity and respect, sir.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll take it for what it is. Fair enough.
But once again, people, thank you for listening and watching this podcast. The post game of the NBA Finals so far. Thank you for tuning in as always. And you know, go to the catalog over at SalSharav.com. Once again, that is SalSharav.com. Make sure you go on the YouTube channel to watch it. Hit the like and subscribe buttons. Give me all of those 5 stars like you owe me money. Maybe not owe me money, but just you owe me something. You owe me some love. So give me all those 5 stars, please, and thank you. And then one more time again for the emphasis, that's SalSharav.com. And if you're on TuneIn Alexa, make sure you hit that one as well, because I know some people have been asking me if it's on that. Yes, it is on that. So please, wherever you can get it, go listen to it, watch it. I appreciate all you guys. And like I said, we got projects coming down the line starting next week. So tune into all of it. All right. So for Terrell McDowell, for Jam Michael Nation, this is Kyle C. And you just tuned into the latest episode of the Av Podcast on South Sharav Radio. Until the next one, hopefully Tuesday or Monday, we'll talk. Peace.